Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 25 of the Custom Apparel Startups podcast. We are now a quarter century old, if we had been born during episode one.
You love comparing them episodes to age.
I do. I don't know why. By the way, this is Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And welcome here. We are continuing on from episode 24, which was the business growth checklist for 2016. The last episode was more on the business side of things. We talked about finance and managing information and setting some plans for yourself. This one, we're going to talk about the marketing and sales side of it, but how are you going to actually implement things to do better and achieve growth?
Right, which is what we honestly, I mean, that's what we're interested in. We just did the last one because we knew we had to.
Yeah. You know,
what we really want to do is the sales and marketing side. That's what we do every day.
Yes, because the problem is if you do this stuff and you don't do the other stuff, then you're going to topple down
more than likely. Right.
Or you're going to end up in the weeds, or you're going to hit this plateau where you can never make any more money.
Right.
For some reason, like, I just can't do more orders.
We get that all the time.
Yeah. And all businesses run into that. That's a real thing.
And usually it's when the owner runs out of time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're working 8, 10, 12 hours a day and you've got, you know, your 9-year-old son doing slave labor, helping with the embroidery machine, and everyone's doing everything that they can, then you're not going to grow unless you do something different.
Yeah, Heath talked about that in the DTG t-shirt.
Yeah, that's
podcast,
true, right.
He talked about that, how when you're the accountant and you're the salesperson and you're the order person and you're the operator, you know, you do everything, then it's like you're working 60 hours and you just don't even have the time to make more money.
Right. So what that means, basically what we're saying is don't start with this episode. If you're listening to this episode and you haven't listened to the prior one, stop now. Go back and listen to our, you know, 2016 business planning episode. Start there and then come back to
it. And it's only about a 30-minute episode.
Right.
So it's not a big, long 90-minute episode. It's nice, it's organized, and it gives you a nice little checklist to build from. So continue on a second page or continue on the same page that you took some notes on, and let's get going.
Yeah, I agree. So the first thing that we want to talk about in sales and marketing plans for 2016 is kind of budgeting your time by season. And this is a top-down approach. Because what you're going to do is you're going to look at last year and maybe even the year before, or if you're brand new in the business, you know, you can talk to people on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, ask them when their busiest season is, when their slowest season is, and take a top-down look at your calendar so you can budget your time and what you want to accomplish by season.
Yes. And if you, for example, if you are in youth sports apparel, if that's the niche that you are in, you're going to know that as the seasons begin for these sports, you're going to ramp up and be really busy, and then you're going to slow down.
Right.
And an example of how you could budget your time and supplies and inventory for is when youth sports starts, white vinyl shoots through the roof on sales.
That's a good one.
We sell a ton of white vinyl. Mm-hmm. We will, no matter what we bring in, we will run out at some point because people literally buy it till it's out.
Right.
I mean, companies run out of white vinyl. So if you know that your sports season is coming up soon and you're saying, well, probably next month I'm going to start making stuff.
Yeah.
Just get some white vinyl.
Yeah, you can stock up.
Yeah.
Now,
stock up. Don't be the one that doesn't run out because you might have competition that runs out of these things.
And the other side of that is, let's say you're in the bling business. You've got a Pro Spangle or a CAMS machine or a Brush and Bake, and you deal with cheerleaders as your market, you know, or school sports as your market. You know that the summers are going to be pretty much dead.
Yeah.
You know, there's a local company here that makes, you know, a good portion of their money at the Strawberry Festival, you know, which takes place here in Tampa, Florida, actually in Plant City. So they know that this is going to be their busiest season. They need to make sure they have the people and the supplies and that they're ready to go. And they also know that if they want to do any special projects, bring in new equipment, or work on new sales techniques, to do that in those other months.
Yes. If you're thinking about getting into direct-to-garment printing, because this fall there's going to be events where you can go to and sell a bunch of t-shirts.
Yes.
Then, and the springtime is particularly slow for you because whatever niche market you're in, you know, then now is the time to invest and learn something new and get into it.
Yeah.
This way you are ready to go for the fall rather than during your busy season say, I'm going to buy DTG right now.
Yeah. Oh my God, I got an order for 200 shirts.
Yeah.
You know, let me get my printer.
Yeah. So it's budget your time by season. If you're going to revamp or start a new website, you're probably better off to budget that. You know, people run into it where it's like, I don't have money in the summer, so now I can't build a new website.
Right.
But it's the same conglomerate of money over 12 months.
Yes.
It is one chunk of money.
Hopefully in the last episode, you've learned a little bit more of how to organize and manage that money.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take advantage of the seasonal nature of the business to make your investments.
Yes. So if you're going to invest in a new website and June is your slowest month, that's a perfect time because you'll get to sit and focus and make it what you want it to be rather than trying to do it during when you've got a bunch of events and things.
Yeah. At 10 p.m. after you've printed shirts all day.
Yeah. You're going to get apathetic.
Right.
Yeah.
So now you've got the legal pad with all of these bullet points on it from the last episode and for this episode. And you've also got a calendar that you're going to kind of map out what your seasons are and what you expect to be slow, what you expect to be busy. And maybe you can even take what we're talking about in the rest of this podcast and try to boost things up in those slow times.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if March is a particularly slow month for you, or if September, October is slow for you because you don't do school business, then you can take a look at what you can accomplish sales-wise in those months.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And when we're looking at the time and the season, it's also important to maybe look at events.
Yeah, absolutely. Scheduling your events is a big deal. Now, back when Coldesi and Coleman & Company used to do trade shows, you know, we would have four or five big events a year, and it took a lot of time to prepare for it. And if we didn't prepare in advance, you know, then we'd be scrambling at the last minute, which, by the way, is what we always did. We'd be scrambling at the last minute, and, you know, that costs extra time and extra money and just causes all kinds of problems. And this way, you can be a little bit more strategic.
Yes, and it's going to be less stressful. You didn't open up your own business, or you don't have a dream to open up your own business because you want more stress.
Right.
Nobody says that. I want to open up my business so I can pull my hair out.
Yes.
You don't do that. You do it because of the freedom. So right. Now that you're free to do what you want in your own time, look at events that you might want to attend so you can plan for them. And that might be, I mean, what might they be?
So, for example, if you are in the horse market,
mm-hmm.
you know, we actually have a lot of embroiderers that do horse blankets and bridles and all kinds of customization. We have people with bling machines that go to horse events and sell that. So maybe you want to take a look at, you know, are you going to do horse events in your state?
Is it equestrian? Is that the word?
Equestrian, that's it.
Is it?
It's okay. Not horsey events, is it? It's
well, it depends on your age.
Okay.
My daughter, I think she would call it.
Okay. So, equestrian events, Mr. Fancy.
Yes, yeah, either horse way. Events. I changed
or
mind.
dog.
I want to go back.
Or canine exercise events. You know, whatever your vertical market is or your niche market is, you know, maybe you take a look at what events are going on in the year and which ones that you want to attend, and you find out how much they cost and you put them on the calendar and work backwards from there.
Yes. And maybe you don't have this ultra niche cool market that you do dog stuff all the time.
What would you do then?
I would find some things that I find interesting or cool.
Okay.
And then I would find groups and organizations in my area or in surrounding areas that do that. And then those are the events I would try to go to. And it doesn't mean that going to an event means you have to be a vendor at an event too.
Right.
That doesn't always mean that.
Yeah.
But if you like boats, even if you don't own boats, even if you don't, maybe in your city, there's not even water.
Right.
But
I've heard there are cities like that.
But, you know, for example, where I live, it's maybe an hour to get to the ocean.
Right.
Where anybody would go to the ocean. It's maybe an hour away or 45 minutes away. And if I liked boats, maybe I don't own one, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I still like them. Well, there's a bunch of boating events that are going to happen. I can just go to these things. Yeah. And I can network and meet people and just attend events. And it will give you opportunity to make more money.
Yeah, and maybe wear wear one of your creations that has to do with boats. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, approach the, you know, while you're there, go. Introduce yourself to the organizer of the event. Say, man, I love this event. You know, I'd love to participate in some way. Can we make some shirts?
Yeah.
You know, and participate in the event that way.
Yeah, and there's a million creative things we could talk about in how you could do this. You know, you could wear a hat, you know,
right,
that's got the name of somebody's boat on it, or a fictitious boat.
Yeah,
true. I mean, whatever.
Or maybe you hate boats, but there's Chamber of Commerce in your area has, yeah, events every 90 days.
Yeah.
You know, that you can participate in. Remember, this is the sales and marketing part. So this is you putting your company out there, you know, to try to find more business in 2016 than you had in 2015.
Yeah.
So take a look at the calendar. If you're in a niche market, find events that pertain to that niche market. If you are not in a niche market, but you have a personal affinity for one, if it's a church group or some kind of a sport or some kind of a hobby, I don't know how many t-shirts you'd sell at the chess club events, but you never know.
They're
huge.
Could
do a Bobby Fischer Rocks shirt. You know, maybe you could sell those. But, you know, whether you're a vendor or whether you just participate, get that calendar out. You know, in particular, if you've marked off your busy season and your slow season, for your slow season, pile up on events, you know, that you can make more money at.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that, because what happens is that not everybody who starts an apparel business is a salesperson.
Right.
And I can think of what I've thought in my head, or what someone might think, that, well, yeah, I would go to a car show, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't really want to, like, walk around passing out cards, and I feel very awkward doing that.
Right.
How about this, then? Go because you like it.
Yeah.
Let conversations happen naturally. And then when you talk to somebody, ask them what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very easy.
Yes.
What do you do?
I think we've got a podcast episode on networking.
Yeah.
I really do.
And just say, what do you do? And then they'll come back and you say, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And maybe it will work out. But worst case scenario, you like cars and you went to a car show.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean,
you know?
And one thing that you might do is just make an amazing shirt or an amazing cap, like, especially if it's a car show.
Yeah.
Find the best photo of a car, the most beautiful, if you do DTG in particular, and just do an incredible design that will make people ask you,
sure,
man, where did you get that shirt?
Absolutely.
And you could even say, this is my car someday. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you know, do something that might start a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're great at art, then go for it.
Yeah.
If you're not, pay somebody to make,
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
really,
that would be cool.
Pay someone to do it.
And
so,
bring your cards anyway. You,
yeah,
know, just say,
definitely,
if there's somebody that looks nice and that you might want to work with, like, let's say they, you know, maybe it's a custom car parts, or it's a, you know, they do custom boat canopies. You know, maybe you want to hand them your card and say, hey, if you ever need t-shirts done to go with these, you know, let me know.
Yeah, it doesn't
might
need
have
to
a
be
nice
a pitch.
Business trajectory.
It doesn't need to be a pitch. It could just be letting them know.
Right. So you've got those kind of participation events, and then you've got events that you're actually going to exhibit at. And either one, I want you to backtrack the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're looking at your whole calendar, you're finding your slower parts of the year to do these events if you can. You're going to say, okay, I'm actually going to participate in this family reunion event.
Okay.
You know, of organizers. And that's going to be in August. So backtrack from that. I've got to be ready for that by August 15th. What do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need to pre-produce some shirts. I'm going to need to get in more inventory. I'm going to do all the things in that business side of the podcast that we already did to make sure that you're ready. And now you're actually building up a marketing calendar. You know, so you've got the event. You've got you're prepared to the event. Maybe you want to send out some emails, which we'll talk about later, to invite your customers to the event. And you want to make sure you collect email addresses at the event, you know, and plan out sending an email afterwards.
That sounds like a bunch of
that's cool a stuff lot. That's yeah. a lot, but it's not hard to do.
No, it's not. And I think that it's, you know, maybe set a goal for yourself to say, I want to go to or participate in one event a month. You know, yeah. whatever the number is yeah. right for you, set a nice goal for yourself. And then some of them are going to be easy. So you're going to say, yeah. well, these 3 months, there's going to be these three equestrian
events.
And
or
you
canine.
Know,
or canine.
And you know,
or
you're nautical. Going to participate yeah. and you know, you're going to be a vendor. So those are big ones. And then maybe in April and in November, there's nothing going on in your niche market and say, okay, well, during this time, I'm going to make sure that these are months I go to Chamber of Commerce meetings yeah. or whatever else it might be.
I like that. And at the end, you'll actually have a marketing calendar, which I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
It's particularly motivating to say, all right, I did this. I was a vendor at this farmer's market that happens in the spring every other week.
Yeah.
So I'm a vendor at this thing for 6 weeks, you know, whatever it is. And then that's done. And then you say, okay, now the next thing I got to do is in June, I'm doing this.
Yeah,
and then in August, I'm doing this.
You know what's not fun is to look in the paper or see an article online of an event that you should have been at last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, that's today. You know what I mean? Or to not be prepared for an event that you're going to do. So do the calendar and schedule your events, backtrack from those events, and make sure that you participate.
Now, how might we find out about events?
You could look on a social media platform.
Oh, nice segue.
Thank you very much. Nice tee up there.
So that's the next thing we want to talk about is we had written down, pick a social media platform.
Right. And by pick a social media platform, I mean that all of you should do Facebook. That's not even a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be on Facebook. So pick that one and something else, I think.
Yeah, sure. And it could be Facebook and Twitter if you like Twitter. It could yep. be Facebook and Instagram if you like taking pictures. There's
if you're in the business market, it could be Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you do a lot of B2B stuff, LinkedIn's great.
Yep.
You're going to connect with people there. So pick a platform and spend some time there. So that not only means, I think, making your own page or possibly a group.
Business page. Yes.
You know, which can be important. But that might not necessarily be the way that you're really going to grow your business. That's a cool page where you can share your work and
yeah.
your customers can give testimonials and you can ask people, say, hey, will you put a testimonial on my page? It's a resource necessarily more than just because you get every single one of your friends to like your embroidery page.
That's not success.
Yeah, that's not success. You know, I have a business page that you can say, hey, I did a good job. I posted a picture of the work that I did. Would you mind going on there and telling me that you loved it?
Yeah, no? Even if it's a self-defense move, because if it hasn't happened already, I would be surprised. Someone will ask you, do you have a Facebook page?
Mm-hmm.
And when you say no, that is a conversation stopper.
Yeah.
You know, or yes, but you can't have it because I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
You know, on a personal page.
Yes.
But you should always, you know, a Facebook page it's free and it's easy to set up. You put a picture of your business in the big part. You put a picture of yourself or your logo or your work in the small part. And you just make sure that you participate in it.
Yeah, yeah. And it could be, like I said, you could do testimonials on there, pictures of your work. We've talked about taking videos. Of
yeah,
making
I love
work.
That. Love that.
So it's just one of those things that you don't have to put a ridiculous amount of time into it, but
yep.
you should have one.
Yep.
But then also, you should participate in groups. Facebook groups, and that's actually
I think that's the money part right
yeah.
there. Yeah. Yeah.
So participate and or start if you've got a great
yeah.
idea, a group. And that's where you can find out about events and be on a group and then participate in those. So if you like cars or boats or dogs
right.
or horses or golf
yeah.
or anything.
Do people like golf?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's like one of the big sports
is
in
it?
The world.
And it's a sport.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So if you like that, then participate in those groups. Participate in some conversations.
Yeah.
For one, it'll be interesting because you like it.
Yep.
But then also, you're going to run into opportunities. And then you're going to have the opportunity to share your Facebook page. So somebody
yeah.
writes about an event. And then you can comment. Do you have vendors there?
Yeah.
I make shirts, by the way.
Right.
Know? And that will give you the opportunity to find out when events are, which ones you want to go to, and participate in them and connect. So you might be participating in a bunch of conversations on a Facebook group, and the person who's the admin sees your name a bunch.
Yeah.
And then you find out that they are the ones putting on this car show. And then you can directly message this person you basically know.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of other advantages. First of all, you could join the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group.
Yeah.
Which has almost 1,900 people that are kind of just like you, that are in getting into the business or they're in business. And they're just there to help and exchange information. But what they also do is say, hey, I'm an embroiderer. If you're looking for, you know, someone to do wholesale embroidery that you can't handle, look me up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another perfectly valid use of a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And we also mentioned events. And you know you can actually schedule events in Facebook?
Really?
So if you are going to be at an event that is published on Facebook, you can post that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if you want to host an event, you know, like, hey, your event is, I'm going to be at the dog show, or I'm going to be at the equestrian event,
yeah,
you know, or something like that, then you can put that as an event and invite people.
Yeah, and you invite people that would come to the event and that hopefully would buy something from you.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that's in the end, that's the idea.
Yeah, so on Facebook particularly, you should have a page and participate in other pages and use that as a networking tool.
Right.
And use that as a way to find events and plan your year and just participate in sales without actually having to go out there and make cold calls.
So maybe that's a good thing for 2016 or for the first two-thirds of 2016, that you're gonna pick a social media platform, Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or two, and you're gonna dive into it head first. You're gonna do it, you're gonna participate in it, and you're gonna learn about it. So the end of the year or next year, you can do things like take advantage of advertising.
Yeah.
Or work up a great marketing strategy, or even put a buy button on Facebook for your website products.
Sure.
You know, which you can do. So it all starts somewhere. Now, if you're already there, if you already have a Facebook page and you're active, then maybe you want to take one of those next steps this year.
Yeah. And think about, well, is there something I can advertise on
right.
here? Or can I start my own group within this niche market where I can be the administrator and I can help gather people together.
Yeah.
And then you become, you know, this field expert or this industry expert in this little group.
Yeah.
And you're going to make a lot of great connections.
Yeah.
It's going to be good for business.
I love that idea. So we've talked about budgeting your time by season. We've done schedule out your events. And then we talked about social media and how that kind of relates to events and to other things that you might do later in the year.
So now, you know, you're doing things to get more customers. You're getting people in the door. If you listen to the last podcast, you've got maybe some new ways that you process orders and invoice and create sales orders. But, you know, then the next thing is the customer experience.
Yeah, because maybe in that list of your biggest mistakes from last year, maybe that was one.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you had an employee that was rude to a customer, or maybe you didn't handle a return so well, or, you know, maybe there's just something glaring that somebody said to you. Like, you know, I love your stuff, but the box looks like crap. Or, you know, I didn't recognize that the shirts or the caps came in, you know, because it was stacked up in a shoebox.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe it's something like that.
Yeah. Or they thought that they were missing 10 shirts because it was, you didn't organize the smalls and the larges. And they went through all the larges. They thought they were done until they got to the bottom of the box.
Right.
And it was just uncomfortable for them. So analyze your process. And there's a customer experience episode that
yeah.
we have,
yeah,
which I love. I think that stuff is really cool to analyze and go through. But pretend that you're your customer for a moment and say, okay, if I were to call me, what would I say? How would I get a quote? How would I place the order? How would I get the order? What if there was a mistake? How would I handle it? How would I have handled that for my customer? What's their experience going to be like? And then figure out what can be better.
Right. So customer experience, just to kind of break it down a little bit, is everything that involves facing your customer. Everything your customer or potential customer sees, hears, feels, receives, and does. And at the end of that, it creates an emotion or an opinion about mm-hmm. your business. And the better that is, the more likely they are to order from you again, to talk to their friends about it. It's all part of that Know Your Numbers episode as well. You know, if you've got somebody that you treat right and they're happy with the experience of doing business with you, they're more likely to recommend you to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought about the customer experience thing and improving it when I went to, I mentioned I got a new phone, I think in the last podcast. So I got a new phone and I went to the store and getting a new phone and dealing with the contract part of it and what plan you're going to get is, it's not too fun for most
right.
people. The getting the phone part is cool. Getting a new gadget is cool.
Yes.
But the process of dealing with that is annoying, and knowing what your bill is going to be and having to look at that and, oh my gosh, this is
right.
what I spend on this, is not always fun. But I noticed that since the last time I did it to this time, the company I went with, they've obviously looked at what their customer experience is, and they've altered it. So when I went in there, there was a guy standing by the front door who opened the door for me and let me in and said, hey, I'm Jose.
Right.
So that was cool right away, because the last time I went in, I had to walk in and sign into a kiosk, and then
oh, yeah.
I talked to nobody.
Very
And then I waited for 20 minutes, and finally I talked to somebody. I was uncomfortable the whole time.
Yeah.
This time I walked in, I was greeted with a friendly greeting, and the guy said, what are you looking for? I said, this is what I want to do. He said, great, let me show you. And then when it came for the plan and all of that, he had an iPad, and it showed the different options. And he said, you could do this one or this one.
Yeah.
I said, I think I like that. He said, great. Type your name right here. I typed it in. Click, click, click. And we were done.
Yeah.
And we were done in a quarter of the time that it was. So you can consider that stuff for your customers.
Right. And I like that you went with, you know, the best part of a customer experience, or the one that they're going to remember or relate to the most, is the personal interaction. It drives me crazy if I go into a retail store or in a restaurant. You know, I'm standing in line or I'm walking around and there's nobody there to say hello.
Yeah.
You know, or they're working and their head's down. So like maybe your customer experience is you have a single head embroidery machine in a shop, and you're running the embroidery machine, and people are coming in behind you all the time, and they're looking around, and they have to ask you for help, or tap you on the shoulder, or one of your employees. And maybe changing the customer experience starts with just looking every customer in the eye and say, hey, good morning, welcome to the shop.
Yeah, I'll be right with you.
Yeah, or doing the telephone version of that.
Yes, the telephone version is frustrating. We call, you know, at Coleman and Company,
oh my
we
God.
Call companies all the time.
Yeah.
We follow up with orders. We check on issues. We find out if people need, you know, to resupply up for our customers that want that. And all the time we call their business phone number and get things just, hello, or answer. They answer and they're like yelling at somebody else.
Yeah.
And
hey, this is
like,
Bob.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah. And I'm just like, just answer your phone with a business name and smile and say, how can I help you? Or
I think we really pounded that in. You know, you answer the phone. Hi, this is, you know, Bob's Embroidery. My name's Steve. How can I help you?
Well, I learned something from my father and he never told me to do this.
Okay.
But I noticed this throughout my whole life, was that his cell phone was often a business phone call coming in. So, and, you know, especially when he was older, he wouldn't always have his glasses on, so he couldn't see who was always calling. But he just always answered his phone, you know, good afternoon or good evening or good morning, Mark Vila. So he'd say, like, you know, good afternoon, Mark Vila.
Yeah.
And he didn't know who was going to be calling. It would be me a bunch of the times.
Right.
But it was like, it was just always a pleasant way to answer the phone. And that's an easy thing to do.
Yeah. So let's run through a couple of things that you might want to look at for your customer experience is how you answer the phone, and how you can improve that. How you answer your emails, you know, so maybe an autoresponder is appropriate. And I really encourage you to listen to that podcast on customer experience, because there's a lot more to it than this.
Sure.
But, you know, so how you answer the phone, how you answer your emails, what your invoicing and packaging looks like.
Yeah.
And if you do anything at all after the sale, like call and say thank you, send a thank you card, call and make sure the order's right, anything like that, and maybe pick a couple of places to improve.
Yeah, if you could, it's good to set this is something that's an easy goal to set,
yeah.
where you say, I'm just going to pick two things.
Right.
What do I like better? Well, I can very, very easily, I can answer the phone differently.
Yes.
That's an easy change.
Yes.
And then also, I'm going to, instead of repackaging the boxes that I get from the shirt companies that are all fold up and beaded up and were shipped via UPS, I'm going to go online and I'm going to find some inexpensive way to deliver these things.
Right.
Maybe you get crates that you reuse. So, you know, maybe that costs you, so it's a one-time cost. You deliver it that way, and then you say, when you're done, let me know. I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Now, this is a new twist to the customer experience, because you've delivered them a crate where you got your sticker or logo on it, and then you come back and get it, and when you come back and get it, you get to see them again and thank them.
I love that
and
idea.
And ask them how it did.
Hey, you know, maybe it's just put tissue paper between each shirt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, whatever that is, but really, you know, you need to write down all the ways that a customer can approach you and kind of the process and how you respond. And pick two ways, you know, whether or not it's, you know, they walk up to you at an event.
I've got a great one. This is a free one.
Okay,
Free of charge.
Normally we charge for these things.
Yeah, free of charge. If you have an autoresponder that has a big, long list of old...
It's pet peeve time.
But I see it like every day. Just go to your autoresponder thing and turn it off.
Yes.
You don't even have to edit it. Just turn that off.
Make your autoresponder, hey, we don't accept these kinds of graphic files. We don't want this kind of artwork. We don't do polyester. We don't, you know, really, we don't like you, so please don't email us back.
Yes. Yeah. I'm debatable on autoresponders, period.
Right.
But if you're going to have one, make it pleasant.
Yeah.
We got your email. We will answer it within 24 hours.
Love that. That's very simple.
Done.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're on vacation, I'm on vacation.
Yeah. You know? I'm not going to call you back.
Yeah. I will be answering emails, you know, within whatever many days.
Yeah. I like all that.
So,
but whatever it is, you know, it's phones, emails, packaging, invoicing, delivery, how you handle people approaching you at trade shows, at events, you know, whatever it is, that's your customer experience. And if you can make two parts of that process better, you know, I think you'll retain more customers and get more customers and you'll make more money.
You will. And one of those things might be your website.
Right.
So if you do have a website, then it's important to do a website check as one of your goals.
What do you mean by that?
So go to your website, read everything, and click on everything.
Okay.
Every single link that you have, click on it. Every single thing you have, read it. If a link doesn't work, make a note so you can get it fixed.
Yeah.
And if something doesn't read right, you definitely want to change that.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that I'm notorious for spelling mistakes because I do everything fast and I type fast and I'm a terrible proofreader. So if you are like me, and some of you customers have gone to our websites and say, hey, Mark, you spelled print wrong.
Yeah.
You know, what is a DTG pint?
Yeah. Pinter.
So if you're like that, then for your website check, have someone else read it.
Sure.
And try all the links. You know, if you've got a teenager that you can give $20 to go through your whole website and tear it apart, then that's a good move.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's, you know, that's just an important thing to consider is just not all too often, companies don't revisit their website.
Right.
And I try to do it. We've got a big website, you know, we've got thousands of products, so it's hard, you know, for us to do that. But we make an effort to do it and we make sure we listen to our customers when we make that adjustment.
Right.
But if your website, you know, might be simpler, it could be something that you literally could do in a morning.
Yes.
So, but you just actually have to do it. And there are so many times where people don't do it. And we see it from our customers and you just see it all over the place in business where people don't go through and they don't check their website. You said to me the other day when we were talking about this, write something new on every page.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Add a new story, you know, add a new testimonial, change a product description.
Just add to it because I will tell you that Google loves that. And Bing loves that. So for search engine optimization purposes, for getting found online, it's a great idea to refresh your product descriptions, your text on the pages.
Yeah, and make sure the phone numbers you have or addresses, or contact information or hours of operation or policies are all up to date.
And honestly, I'm working with a company now who hasn't changed their website in probably 4 or 5 years. And they've got a lot of information about on there about products that they haven't sold for several years.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to do that website check every year. I recommend that you change the text and that you have somebody else take a look at it.
Yeah, and if you can, get some new pictures on there as well. You know, surprisingly so, you know, your mobile device, if you've got a newer one, can take surprisingly great pictures that are perfect resolution for the web. You know, having a photographer and the Photoshop is all great and wonderful, and that and yeah, it can make an impact.
Yeah.
But if it's just taking a nice picture of your shop on your phone, and getting it on your website, just in a little, you know, 2x2 inch image or whatever it is, and just update that. Add some new ones. People like that. It makes them feel comfortable, and it's an easy thing to do.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm the brutal one of the two marks. I'll tell you, if you did your website yourself, and you know, didn't have a professional involved, or if you had your friend that knows a little bit about WordPress or something do a website for you, it's probably not good. And there's probably 10 or 15 places that you could make an improvement. And maybe you're emotionally attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to see that. So have somebody take a look, you know, have, you know, someone that you don't know very well, look at your website and review it. Or you could even send a link to Mark Vila or I at host@caspodcast.com. And we'll take a quick look and let you know what we think.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, I agree. I love that kind of stuff. And, That's the fun stuff for me. That first thing we did, the first podcast we did on this, all the business side is not fun. Like, no, this is the fun stuff.
It is.
And it's fun for me to go through and look at that stuff. You know, we're happy to do it.
Yeah. I will tell you, though, that I never hear from about half the people again after they do that, because we will tell you the truth. we will. Okay.
So what next? Well, I think there's one other thing we want
to I keep feeling like I want to say this is the most important thing that we're going to talk about before each one of these points. This one, I think, is one of the most important things that we're going to talk about, and that's develop an email list.
Yeah.
If you don't have an email list, it's a mistake. Because online companies, big website companies, you know, Amazon, Woot, heck, Walmart, any big company that you name, their online marketing strategy is geared towards getting your email address so they can send promotions to you.
Yeah.
And they do that because that's where they make their money.
Yeah, and the thing is that, inboxes are full and they're cluttered and you get a bunch of junk email, you know, but it works. It works. And the thing is that you can, you know, you can unsubscribe from emails. You know, you can't tell somebody to stop mailing you something, a postcard.
Right.
But you can unsubscribe from emails, and you can allow your customers to do that if you want or not. But what's great about it is if anytime you have an opportunity to share a message with your customers or let them know you're at an event, it is a very easy way to do it, and that's essentially free.
Yeah, and it's a way for you to stay in touch. So I know a lot of our customers, they don't want to do emails because they feel like they're inundated.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I don't want to send anybody emails because I hate it when that happens. Okay, so you hate it when that happens, but how many of those have you opened? You know, I mean, all these companies, they make a lot of money from email, and we're not suggesting that you send somebody an email every day or spam somebody, but to capture all the email addresses for your customers, to set up a free email account, you know, like with a MailChimp or a Constant Contact, is a solid and mandatory business practice.
Yeah, yeah, you just should. And even if you're not necessarily sending out a bunch of stuff now.
Yes.
You know, which is that, because that's two different things. Getting an email, getting some sort of sign up and the ability to store and put email addresses in a place is the first step of it. What you do with that over time
is second.
Is adapting. But if you start that now, and there's a lot of great ways you could do it, So it's just a matter of that everybody who's a customer of yours, you put in a list.
Yeah, it could be you are utilizing the CRM that we talked about in the last episode.
Yeah.
It could be that you have a form that they fill out, or you just capture it from emails that people send you. Because this is what's going to happen, and this really often sets successful and very successful businesses apart, is a customer calls you about a family reunion job or about an event that they're going to have coming up shortly. And you call you and you get their email address and you email them a price. You never hear from them again. Or you hear from them again and they went into a different direction or it got postponed. You know, or they have that event every year. If you are sending them an email something once every 30 days or 60 days or 90 days or even twice a year, you know, your name is now in front of them again, because they may not find you to call you next year, or they may not remember your name and email address the next time that they need a custom shirt or a cap. So emails are there to remind people that that you want to do business with them.
Yeah. And there's a lot of emails you can send out that are just nice.
Yeah.
You can send out, you know, Happy New Year emails.
Yeah.
You know, and Happy Valentine's Day emails. And it don't always have to be a pitch, but it could just be, if it's all of your customers that you've got, you know, Independence Day comes and you could say, like, you know, proud to be an American, happy Independence Day. Thanks for being a customer.
Right.
I just want to thank you and call me if you need anything.
Yeah.
And these are things that you can do, you can execute while you're drinking your coffee. Because you don't have to have a ton of artwork and a bunch of fancy things. And if you've got an email list and simple software to use, you can log in, grab a template that's already pre-made, type in a nice little thank you message, and click send, and it's done. And you may have hundreds or thousands of people that will have your name and phone number and business name put in front of their face, even if it's for a second.
Yeah.
Even if they delete it. And they, oh, that was nice, delete.
Yeah.
You know, they'll still remember you.
Right.
And they will know, and they might, and if they don't delete it, then you are now in their inbox for them to say, what we talked about earlier, hey, oh yeah, there was that embroidery lady.
Yeah, she sent me a New Year's thing.
Yeah, let me look that. For that.
You know who's really great at that is, I bought my house that I live in Tampa, I think 6 years ago now. And I still get emails from the real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not in the market for another house. I probably won't be for a long time. But man, I hear from this couple every month or two. And sometimes it's about the real estate market. Sometimes it's just, general stuff. A Happy New Year or Merry Christmas kind of a message. But when I'm ready to get a new house, or if somebody asks me if I know a real estate agent, guess what? I do.
Yeah,
you know, I do, because I just got an email from them last month. Let me type it in and I'll forward it to you.
Yeah. So do you know a t-shirt guy? Do you know an embroiderer? You know, all that. You've got the opportunity to email them, but you've got to build the list. So I think the purpose of it is to develop an email list. So
yes.
What the actual action that you have to take is find a service that you feel comfortable using.
Yes.
And a lot of them are free for
2,000 customers, or
so there is MailChimp and Benchmark and Constant Contact, and you got any others to throw in there?
No, I mean, there's just a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, I'm a MailChimp fan because I think it's seriously easy to use. So, you know, you can start with that, or you can type in Google or Bing or whatever you use and just say, you know, free email services.
Yeah, yeah,
and
free
see what comes
email
up.
Marketing. And they do the same thing that we talked about with the CRM. Click through the site, look around it, look at what their pricing is, watch videos on how it works, and find one that you say, yeah, this one's cool, I like it.
So for this strategy, what you actually need to do is two things. Is work out, number one, how you're going to get your customers' email addresses. And that can be from now on, you're going to have a sign-up sheet at your front counter. Say, please give me your name and email address so I can send you promotional stuff. You're going to have a sign-up at a trade show that you go to for people's email addresses. And maybe you're going to go back through your email that you use now and just attach a name and an email address, you know, to a customer file.
Yeah, and if you have a website, you should have a little newsletter or email sign-up form or promo sign-up form. People will fill it out. Believe it or not, you know, if you don't love emails, there are plenty of people who do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't hate it, honestly.
Right.
Like, I get a lot, But if something annoys me, I unsubscribe from it.
Yes. No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. I delete the stuff that I don't care about. But every once in a while, I get something from the pet store that's interesting to me. And I say, oh, my dog would like that.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm gonna look at it next time. So you know, give them a place to sign up in your store or on your website or in the emails you send.
Yes.
You can do even a little footer message that says, hey, I send out promotions and thank yous and cool pictures sometimes. If you want to be a part of that, I would love it. Click here and you could fill out a form. It'll take a second.
Yeah.
And you can ask people to opt in that way. That's a very official, clean, the email services would love that you do it that way.
Yeah. Remember, I mean, you're going to ask people to give you their email address because you want to send them emails. When you give someone, like if you go to Ann Taylor or, you know, a shoe store, you know, you walk in, as you're checking out, the first thing that they will ask you is, what's your email address? You know, and you give it to them knowing that they're going to send you stuff by email.
Yeah.
So your customers are doing the same thing. Don't feel bad.
Yeah.
And do like everyone else and ask them for their email address and build the list.
Yeah, exactly. And if they, you know, the folks that really don't like it will say it. And you say, cool. Okay.
Or they'll give you a fake email address.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine then. Then you're done.
Yeah.
But the folks that clicked on the link or filled it out on your website or whatever they did, those are the people that are your fans. They want to hear from you. What they literally said was, I'm going to take 10 to 15 seconds to type out my email address and hit send me something.
Yes.
And now they asked you to do it.
Yeah.
So those are your best fans. So
hey, you know what we should do while it's and we'll make it on tape is we should do an episode, a podcast on just the content for customer emails.
Yeah, that's
all the different
good
things that you could send to them so people will know.
Yeah.
You know, so you guys can, you know, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on iTunes or on the page, or that you know, make sure we have your email address, and we'll let you know when that podcast is ready.
Great. So I think we put together a nice little list of some things you can do for your marketing and sales and just making your business better.
Yeah, it's a deceptively small list, you know, because, you know, when you're going to budget your time by season,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to look at that. Then you're going to schedule out the events according to your interests, your business, and your season, and when you're going to be busy. And then you're going to backtrack those events to develop a plan for what you need to do to prepare for them.
Yep.
If you need to prepare for anything. And you're going to participate in a bunch of different events. Then you're going to pick a social media platform like Facebook.
Yeah.
And you're going to dive into that a little bit.
Because you're going to participate in events in real life and you're going to participate in events that are happening in the virtual world online.
Right. And that includes groups for your city, for your niche market, for your business, including the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. And then you're going to take a look at how customers view and experience your business.
Yeah. And how people will interact with you, how you can make that better to say that every single time somebody buys something from me, I want them to be really happy. They have
excited,
a good, positive, excited emotion, so they want to come back or tell somebody or just remember me, that they don't forget who I am.
And for God's sakes, answer the phone properly, would
answer
you?
The phone
come on, just smile. You should be happy somebody's calling you. So analyze your customer experience, you know, by writing down what your process is and take a look at least two places where you can
improve.
Yeah,
and one of those places to improve is if you do have a website or a Facebook page, both of them really, just take a look at what it is. Make sure it's nice and neat and clean and it works.
Yeah.
Update it if you can, even just a little bit, and because that's part of the customer experience.
Agreed. Make sure all the links work. Update your text. You know, if there are any pictures that you can replace, you know, do that.
Yeah. And for the folks that want to keep in touch with you, a thing that you can start is to have a way to email them and organize those emails in a place where you can access it, and you can, part of that experience is communicating back to your customers in the future, thanking them or letting them know about events. It all ties in.
Agreed. And you can do that through CRM, through a sign-up list, through a MailChimp list. You know, there's a variety of ways to capture and keep track of your customers' emails.
Yes. And if you do both episode 24 and 25, if you do both of these things, there is 100% chance you will get a customer you wouldn't have gotten before.
Yeah, you're going to do...
There's 100% chance of
you're
that.
You're going to do better. I mean, and that's really what we want, because the more successful you are, the more successful we are as a business, And honestly, the happier you'll be to share our podcast
with
your friends and family, which is what we really want.
So this is the part of these goals. We talked about it briefly before that there's kind of two ways to make goals, you know, for the year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
So you can, you know, part of this is to say the reason that you're doing these is because you have a specific financial goal. I want to buy a forehead. I want to get a car. I want to get a boat.
Yes.
A horse.
I want to leave my job.
Yeah.
You know,
and
do this
full time. I want to go
full time.
So you might have certain financial goals, and then you have to write those numbers down. So if it's I want to go full time, it means I need to make this much money.
Yeah.
Which, and then that's your goal.
And backtrack through everything that we've talked about. And okay, so if I did all these things that I talked about, if I did the events and improved my customer experience and kept track of emails and things like that, is that enough to get me to the goal?
Yeah. And if it's not, add something.
Yeah. You got to do more.
So, and then the other goal way to approach it is the, what I call like the, if you build it, they will come approach.
Yeah. I like that.
So maybe your goal is not, I need to write down and have a specific number I need to hit. But the goal is I'm going to improve my business because I like the way things are going and I want to keep on that track and get better.
Yeah.
So you build it better and you do a better job and then you just, then
the money will come.
The money will come.
Yeah.
So there's, both of those approaches are great. Pick which one that's right for you.
Yeah.
And do it.
And, you know, look back and when you are doing your 2016 review, like we did in the last episode for 2015, you know, maybe look back at your year in advance and see how you think you did. You know, find, you know, do that same thing. You know, where are my mistakes going to be? You know, how much more money am I going to make? What's it going to take for me to feel like I had a killer 2016?
Yeah.
And that's what you want to accomplish.
And revisit this stuff in this list every couple months,
whatever
it is, and just, am I on pace? Am I doing it? Did I plan all this stuff out and then not follow through on any of it?
Right.
You know, and if
then punish yourself in some obvious way.
That's interesting.
You know, you have to maybe like wear a really ugly outfit or wear your clothes inside out for a day or something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't think about that approach.
I don't know where I came up with
it. Yeah, I'm on board.
It struck me.
I'm on board. You have to wear one of those, folding signs down the street,
I like
and,
that.
Yeah, and you could do any of these
That's
things.
That's terrible. Okay. I think we've run out of things to talk about. It's what's happened. All right. So anything else, Mark? I mean, I think we wrapped that up.
No, I think it's good. I think that the biggest thing of all of this is do these things.
Yeah.
Do them. You know, that's everyone wants to eat healthier and work out and see their friends more.
Yeah.
Everyone said, oh, you talk to your friend you haven't seen in a while. We should hang out more.
And you never do.
And you don't.
Right.
So, you know, all these things for your business, like if you can't, you should be able to do all these because as you said, it's not a huge list.
Right.
But definitely just get in, say, pick something and I'm going to do this right now.
Yes.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. You know, that's my big thing is just do it.
Right.
So
I agree. And this has been kind of our way to help you be successful in 2016, which is one of our goals.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thank you.
Yeah. No, this has been Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Have a good business.